This is Congressman Bob Dole with my weekly radio message from Washington. First, I wish to thank this station again for carrying my weekly program as a public service broadcast. We are now, and will be for some time, in both the House and the Senate, perhaps not even until next year in the Senate, be talking about the administration's tax bill. Of course, there's been much said, both pro and con, but this week and perhaps part of next week, the House will have this under very serious consideration. Now, we've heard a lot of talk about what the Burns Amendment might do, and I thought I might discuss that very briefly. I might point out that Mr. Burns is a ranking Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee, and I believe is widely respected. In fact, respected by both Republicans and Democrats. And while there may be some disagreement on the other side concerning his amendment, certainly those people recognize, and everyone recognizes, the ability of Mr. Burns in the tax field. He will appear before the Rules Committee and ask for a special rule which would permit the following amendment to be offered. The amendment merely provides Title III, and this is the title that has to do with providing rate reductions in personal and corporate income taxes, shall not become effective unless the President, when he makes the statement required of him by the Budget and Accounting Act within 15 days from the date that Congress convenes, at the beginning of next year, certifies to the following two facts. Number one, that his budget for fiscal year 1965 will not exceed $98 billion. Number two, that spending for the fiscal year ending June 30, 1964 will not exceed $97 billion. Now, under the Budget and Accounting Act, the President is required by law each January, within 15 days of the convening of Congress, to provide Congress with both of these items, that is, a projection of what total government spending will be during the current fiscal year, and also what he will propose in spending for the fiscal year, which will begin the following July 1st. In other words, the fiscal 1965 would be from July 1, 64 to July 1, 65. Therefore, it does not require the President, Mr. Burns' amendment does not require the President to do anything that he is not already legally bound to do. It merely says that the tax cut will be not effective in 1964. In other words, it will not be effective unless the President satisfies both of the conditions that I've discussed above. In other words, the fiscal year, the budget will not exceed $98 billion, and that in the fiscal year ending June 30, 1964, spending will not exceed $97 billion. I think perhaps this will be the key. It would require in fiscal 64, the year we operate in now, a reduction of $1.8 billion in spending. And I think certainly this is something that is desirable and something that people have written to us about many, many times throughout Kansas and throughout our district. It also would hold the budget down to $98 billion in fiscal 65. And I, too, think that this is sound. But this is perhaps the key issue and will be the key issue as the House debates the tax bill. So when you hear discussion of the so-called Burns Amendment, you'll know that it's the amendment offered by Congressman John Burns of Wisconsin, and that it simply requires two things again. That before the second stage of the tax cut shall become effective, that the President's budget for fiscal year 65 will not exceed $98 billion, and the spending for the fiscal year ending June 30, 1964 will not exceed $97 billion. So I think if we consider it in the proper perspective, we can see that I think it has merit, regardless of my party affiliation or your party affiliation. It's rather difficult to explain to people when they write letters, how can we cut taxes without cutting spending? Frankly, I don't feel we can, and my voting has so reflected this. I wanted to point out, too, that on last Wednesday, September 18, I was in Salina, Kansas, and was a visitor at the meeting held by Secretary of Agriculture Orville Freeman. It was billed as a report and review meeting. In other words, he said he wanted to have grassroots opinion from the farmers. Well, the meeting lasted about 2 hours and 20 minutes, and of this total time, Mr. Freeman had control of about 90% of it. So I don't really believe that the farmers had a chance to speak and to point out what they may or may not want. I frankly feel that it's certainly proper for the Secretary to visit any place he wishes and we certainly will always welcome him to Kansas. But I don't agree this is the way you find out what farmers want on any program or how you find out what anybody else may want. You can't go to a big meeting, a big rally, and have any that will have any real meaning. And I'm certain perhaps the secretary picked up a few ideas, but not the type that will be meaningful when we talk about a long-range farm program and we get down to serious talk about farm legislation. Thanks again, and this is Congressman Bob Dole, Washington, D.C.